Is this thing on? All right. Great to see everybody. Like Dave said, my name is Bryce, and this is my beautiful wife, Belen. I see a lot of new faces, which is really, really great coming back to CCWR and this family to see that it's growing and healthy. And just kind of a little bit about my life over the last few months. Honestly, I think I kind of predicted it. Normal. It's just been very, very normal. A lot of times when you make steps and big jumps, you know, like I felt like we did in our life, you know, a step of faith, you know, that next place can, you've had this anticipation, like it's going to be this, like Dave said, journey and adventure. And sometimes it just ends up being kind of normal. So my life right now is kind of hanging out of my house. I work on my house a lot. And, you know, I do a little work when I can. I hang out with my wife, and it's just a whole lot of fun, kind of just really just hanging out and just, you know, being Bryce and just, you know, not a whole lot going on. So I do kind of try to keep up with you guys, though. And, you know, most of you guys, I see you online. I see you on Facebook. And, you know, you put those things on there because you want your family and friends to know, right? You know, so I kind of keep up with you guys, and I thought, you know, it'd be cool to share some of my favorite things that I've seen from my church family on Facebook. Really like this. Cody has challenged me to Game of Guitar Hero. He's going down. From Anna Giles. I liked that a lot. Let's see here. Tanya Lamb. Out of the way, world, I've got my sassy pants on today. Love keeping up with you guys. Rocky Mercado. I actually like this. I'm going to start using this when I don't want people to be around me. Hangeth thou in there. So I like that. This next one, Roger Parsons. Just wanted to put the word out there. I'm going to be starting a new business. I can no longer hide my moves from the world. I've decided to become an exotic dancer. If anyone knows of any bachelorette party, so, I think you might need to. Oh, that's fun. All right. Let's try Tanya. My love bucket is full. If you are in need of love today, come get some. Meet me at CCWR. I will share the form of hugs, smiles, laughs, fist bumps, and high fives. It's very nice. Rocky, hangeth thou in there. Oh, yeah, here we go. Roger Parsons, just wanted to put the word out there. I'm going to be starting a new business. I can no longer hide my moves from the world. And then there was this picture from Jed and Bianca. I loved that. Chilling, watching the fireplace channel. You can just feel the warmth from Don. And my favorite, Andy gave life in Candy Crush. Yeah, I remind you put these things on there, you know, because you want us to know. And I love keeping up with you guys, so keep it up. All right. Today we're going to be talking about kind of this tension in our lives that we all kind of come to in the will of God. There's this struggle and there's this fight between what I want, what we want as individuals often, and the will of God. And when I say the will of God, I just simply mean what God wants, His path and plan for our lives. And sometimes what I want is like what God wants. But 99% of the time, I often miss the mark. Can I get an amen? If you're anything like me, it seems like when I take my own road in my own path, I find that I get lost. I find that the thing I think I wanted, I really didn't want. And often, you know, I just find myself confused. And that is this unbelievable tension that we have in our lives between what we want and what God wants out of our lives. And, you know, I want to say that you know, that it's very normal and it's very natural to kind of be in that place where, you know, you You struggle on the inside, and it's because you're like everybody else. You know, you want what you want, right? You have this idea and this grand plan, and some, from the time you were a little girl or a little boy, it's been driven inside of you that these are the kinds of things that we need to gain in this life. And I'm reminded of this lyric from Frank Sinatra. It says, "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that is full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way." And I think that many of you can relate with that lyric. That there's this pride that I did it my way. And there's no harm in that song, no harm in what it says. But often isn't that kind of how we feel? Isn't that what we've been taught from a very young age, that we are to take pride in doing it our way, in finding a path on our own, in driving our will, in driving our path? And that can conflict, and there's such a tension when you have something in your life that asks for surrender. When you have someone in your life that says that your life is not yours, it's mine. And it's not what you want. It's not your way, it's my way. And that shows up in so many places. It shows up in the big decisions we make in life, in the ones that just radically change our entire lives. And it shows up in the smallest of things, doesn't it? I find that for me, that collision of wills, that collision of decisions shows up for me often in my marriage. Anyone know what I mean? And please tell me I'm not alone here. My wife is sitting right there. I'll never forget, you know, just, we are just strong-willed people. Both of us are, you know, it's just, I'm right, she's right, neither one of us wrong. You know, just kind of can get a little tense sometimes when we get in that place, you know. I'll never forget one time we were in a discussion that turned into a big discussion. And I have a bad habit of sometimes when I get to a point in a big discussion that I don't want to talk anymore. And I just walk. I just go outside and just start walking. One particular day, we kind of got a little heated, though. And I was just going to prove my point. And I slammed the door and I started walking outside down the road. And this was like mid-spring. It had been raining. And my pride and my way was so strong that after a couple of yards, I realized I was walking in grass this tall. And, I mean, I am just treading through this grass and determined that I am going to prove that it's my way, you know. And my wife comes and drives up next to me. She's like, "Get in the car." And I am just treading through this grass like I am a Marine or something, you know, trying to prove to her my way is right. And it just was so foolish. And isn't that kind of where we land sometimes, you know, when we want our way, we throw fits, get a little confused. Sometimes we make decisions that... And that's why the scripture tells us that there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way, it leads to death. Today, we're going to spend some time in Romans, and we're going to talk about scriptures that specifically lead us into the will of God. Now, the focus of our sermon is Romans 12, but everything in Romans 12 is kind of a setup. There's a path behind it that leads us to understanding the will of God. And what I want to do is just I want to touch a couple of scriptures and give you a couple of scriptures behind Romans 12 to kind of let you know what the book's about, just in case you haven't been in to really study Romans 1 through 11. So we'll start with this, Romans 3:20. "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." Now, you have to realize that this passage was revolutionary for the people that were hearing it. that for them the law was a way of life. It was the command of God. It was a way of living. It was their path to heaven, their path to peace. And a man is stepping forward and telling them that we now understand what the law is. The law is a mirror that shows us our sin. It simply shows us where we fall and where we fail. And he is explaining to them that is what the law does. And we go on to read. Make sure I get the scripture. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. And again, he is just radically shaping and he's building walls for these people. And he's beginning to show them what a life with Christ is like. For so long they'd lived under this law. They had lived under these rules and these regulations. And now they're coming to realize that there is a new way of life in Christ. And he is teaching them with the scripture. He's saying that we now have faith. And by faith, we are made right with God. Yes, we have the law, and the law proves us. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. But now by faith and belief in Jesus Christ, we are made right. We have righteousness now. In Romans 8:1, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And he kind of wraps up this idea of grace. And he wraps up the foundation of what it means to be a believer. And that is that old things are passed away and behold, all things are new. And that no matter what you do, no matter what you've done, there's grace for you. And there's no condemnation. And you have to realize that in that day, it was a world a little bit like ours, where around every corner, somebody was there with a pointing finger saying, the law says, the law says, the law says. Proving what was wrong. Showing with that mirror of the law, this is what sin looks like and this is what you look like. So for someone to step up and preach a sermon in that day to say that now you won't be condemned anymore. The secret's out. You're a sinner. Guess what? So am I. But Christ has made a way. And now all you have to do is believe in him. Confess with your mouth. You'll be saved and all your sin will be washed away. And isn't that the beautiful story that we live on? Isn't that the beauty of kind of what we live in? And what happens in Romans 12 is it's a little bit like this. You ever heard, ever had testimony service? Anybody remember services where, but you know, you have someone stand up. What do they always kind of say, like right before? You remember? Maybe some of you don't remember this, but they'd say, "I want to thank God that I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit." Anybody heard that before? Is it just me? No. Okay. I hear that, and I never forget thinking about kind of what that means. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit. That's kind of a strange phrase for some people. For people like me, it's not that strange. But it's kind of like saying, I was born, I crawled, and I said my first words. And I'm not knocking it. It's a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. But there is more to our life with Christ than just our beginnings. And Romans 12 is that step. It's a step into a life with God. It's a step into discovering what your life with God looks like. What is the will of God for your life? And Dave said something earlier. He said that Bryce and Blynn are taking a journey. And I'm telling you guys that it is a journey. And from day to day, it changes. Some days it's very exciting. And you know, we have, you know, these moments and these tokens from God. And other days, let's just be honest, it's boring. It's just like, I don't see the point. I just don't even know what direction we're going in. And does anybody relate? Does anybody like me at all in that way? That it's just like, you know, you hear these sermons and the pastor makes you feel like you're going to go out and just, you know, conquer the world for Christ, or you're going to, you know, change your life. And then, you know, Monday hits and it's like boring, you know, where did that go? And it truly is a journey. It truly is a journey of faith. But we're going to read a little bit here in Romans 12 about the will of God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. Now, we could shut the book because that's the sermon. That's it. He's giving you, in a generation that loves formulas, in a generation that loves three steps to microwave it, He is giving us the path here on how to find the will of God. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, in finding the will of God, we get to this point where we realize, oh, wow, this is very simple, but it's also a lot. This is a very simple thing, but it's going to cost a lot. And that's what this step with God looks like. That's what, for you that are in places where you're confused and you're trying to figure out, what in the world do I do next? You're brought to this point and you realize things get very, very simple, but also decisions get a little harder. Steps to the will of God is a foundation of grace. Three things. You were a sinner. You are a sinner. And you will continue to sin. Anybody? Is it just me? I know that about myself. I was a sinner. I am sinning. And I will continue to sin. And it does not matter how hard I try. Right when I think I've cleaned up one room of my life, nice and neat, I mean, everything's just tucked away, and my righteousness, filthy rags, is like I think it should look, God opens the door, just cracks it open, and I mean, it is a mess. And that's kind of the beauty of grace. That's kind of the whole gist of the story, is grace is this thing that comes into your life. And when you realize you don't have a chance of getting rid of your sin, when the law looks at you like that mirror and says, you're a sinner, grace says, it doesn't matter. It's unmerited favor, unbelievable forgiveness and grace for what you've done, what you are doing, and what you are going to do. And that's why Paul starts that scripture off and saying, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I beg with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. And I would call that a first step in finding the will of God. If you think that you can gain God's grace and God's love by your own power, you may miss the will of God. The foundation of finding the will of God is knowing the grace of God. The foundation of discovering what He wants for your life is for you to not think too highly of yourself. I recently got in a conversation with a loved one, a family member, and he was very intoxicated and just in a rough place. And he told me, he said, I just feel worthless. I don't feel like I'm worth anything. And I told him, you know, what I felt like was what God wanted me to tell him. I said, well, you know, you kind of have a leg up on a lot of people. I wonder how easy it'd be to love others when you don't feel like you're better than them. So finding the will of God when we're clouded up with thinking we're not sinners, that we don't need grace, it's very hard to find the will of God. So I'd call that, for all of you that love the formulas, your first step. Know that you're a sinner and know that we are living in a great grace. He asked for a certain kind of sacrifice in Romans 12. A certain kind of sacrifice. He says that it's to be living. It's to be holy. And your sacrifice is to be acceptable. I'll tell you what. Here, can I borrow you for a second? I'll tell you what. Actually, pen. Can you grab your wife's pen? Will you give me that pen? Can I have this pen?
Sure.
You said I could have it. Would you say you're surrendering this pen to me? No. Let's just say, for sermon's sake, because I got to move on. But
yeah.
You're surrendering. Okay. Thanks. Is she chewing on this? Okay. Here's kind of the gist of holy. Yeah, you sit down. It's my pen now. So holy, acceptable, a sacrifice. Is he gave me this pen, and now he doesn't have control over it anymore. Now, if I want to use this pen any way I want to, I can. So if I want the pen to write certain words, it now writes those words. And he has no say any longer over what this pen does. Simple example. But that's kind of what I am going to give it back, because I have many pens. I actually have a lot of Christ Chapel pens at the house. So these things show up everywhere. But isn't it kind of what I said earlier? Things get simple, right? They get very, very simple. He's only asking us for a couple of things. But when you realize the couple of things that he's asking for, it kind of gets a little hard sometimes. It's a little harder to make these decisions. And that's what he's asking for out of you. He's asking for the kind of sacrifice that is living, holy, and acceptable. He also asked for this. He said, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Now, this is a hard one, because we live in a world where there's just so many customs and behaviors that if we don't do them, then we're not accepted into social groups, our families even, individuals that we want respect and love from. And that can be very hard sometimes, because the behaviors and the customs of the world, they are so selfish, in a word. It's all about what we can gain, how I can do it my way. And it can be so difficult to not follow those customs, to not live for a dollar, to not live for more appreciation from people, and more accolades and invitations, friendships, and it can be very difficult to not get lost in the behaviors and the customs of the world. And the last thing that he says to let God transform the way you think. Now, here's the one where you get to take a breath. Here's one where you actually get to kind of sit back, and you really don't have to do a whole lot of work. And that's mainly because it's not your responsibility. It's God's. A few months back, I thought it'd be really smart to reseed my grass in my yard, because I killed my grass. And in the process, I kind of made a lot of mistakes. I bought the wrong seed. There was a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to mention them all. But I had one moment about this whole mess of trying to make my grass grow that I will never forget. It just stuck in my mind. Me and my wife are out in the front yard. We've just kind of like dug everything up and tilled it up, and we've got seed in our hands. And I remember I looked over at my wife, and she's just, you know, she's throwing like a mad woman, you know, the seed out because, you know, we don't want our yard to look so bad. And, you know, and I'm just taking the seed. I remember there was one really, really hard spot on the ground. And in my mind, I thought, you know, that spot deserves more seed than any other place. And I remember I just took the seed and I'm just like pelting it, you know, like hoping to God that something would stick in this hard place. Does anybody remember the story of the sower, the seed, in the Bible, seed sower? They say that he throws on the rocky ground and the thorny, and it doesn't really matter what the ground is like. He just kind of just throws the seed out. And for a moment, I felt like that parable. And I kind of understood for a second what that's like. And like that seed and the way I felt about my ground, I want my ground to grow. That's how God feels about you. That's what he wants for you. He looks at the parts of your life that are hard. He looks at the parts of your life that are thorny. And he does not give mind or entertain the way it is currently. He just gives grace. He gives seed. And that's the part of finding the will of God that is so beautiful. You're just dirt. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but that's what you are. You're dirt. And you have no control over whether or not grass will grow. But here's the good thing about surrender, about offering your life to God, is he does. And you will find, if his track record is anything like we see in the scriptures, is that God loves you so much, he won't leave you the way you are. He will change the way you think. And that, my friend, is the biggest step into finding the will of God. This is what you reap. You'll reap good, pleasing, and perfect. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. See, that's kind of the wonderful thing about God, is that when he leads us into places, often it just can kind of feel a little bit confusing, sometimes hard when we want to do it our way. But the path there, and the journey, it grows us and shapes us. Then when we arrive in this place where God has asked us to be, it's everything you could ever want. And I believe there are people in here that are searching for that, and you want that, and you're fighting, and you're struggling, and you're saying, no, I want to do it my way. I want to go my way, in my path. I think I can do it on my own. And you're wrestling with what God wants for your life. And you're wrestling with what you want to do. I was in Mariana, Florida, not too long ago. And I went into a cave. Me and my wife kind of took this tour. And while we were down there, we were hanging out with the guide. And he does this kind of neat thing. And he took us all the way into this one room. And then he made a statement. He said, now, I want you to notice something on the way back. Tell me if anything looks the same. And I remember I'm walking back, like trying to get out of this place, and I'm looking around, and I don't recognize anything from the way going in. And if that God wasn't there, I'm telling you guys, you would be reading about me in a newspaper. I'd be dead in a cave. And it's that's sometimes how it is. We kind of get this little confidence in ourselves. I could do it. I could do it my way. I could go out and build this. I could go out there and make this. And then we kind of get in the middle of it and we realize without a God, without a true north, we're lost. So, what does your worship look like? That's what the Bible says here. It says that He pleads with us that we would offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship Him. So what does your worship look like? I can't answer that question. I can't answer what your worship looks like. I wouldn't dare begin. But we do have a great example and a call, a beautiful sermon from Christ that explains to us what worship looked like for Him. Luke 9:23. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? We're going to be done here in the next few moments. But Jesus gives us an example of what worship was for Him. And He calls us into this life with Him. If you don't know, I'm going to let you know that Jesus, sent by God as a son, came to this earth. He knew us. He was like us. And He was kind to us. He healed us and He loved us. In return, we accused Him, we beat Him, and we hung Him on a cross. All the while, we didn't know that He was dying for us. He was dying so that we could live, so that we could be united with Him in heaven. That we could know the love of God the way He knew the love of God. And His worship, His way of laying His life down was a cross. And He begs us here, Jesus begs us in the scripture, that if you want to follow me, I have a very simple requirement, only one. But it's going to cost everything. If you want to follow me, you have to turn from your selfish ways. You no longer get to do it your way. If you want to follow me, you must take up your cross. Most of the time we see a cross already in the ground. We see it erected up. No, someone took it up, drug it, and stuck it in the ground. Take up your cross. Actively pursue your cross. Don't wait for your cross to find you. And many of you in this room, you know what it is. Your cross is screaming at you, saying, take me up. And every part of you says, no, I don't want to. I don't want to pick that up. That's too heavy. It's going to mean I have to give my whole life up. It's going to mean I don't get to do it my way. But that's worship. That's how worship works. It's a sacrifice. It's offering your whole life to Him. And last, He says to follow Him. Very simple rules. That's going to cost you everything. Here's the beautiful part. Just like in Romans, you're going to find what is good and perfect and pleasing. He says that if you cling to your life, you will lose it, guaranteed. But if you cling to me, if you take my cross up that I've designed for you, you will gain life. And I realize that all over this room, you're in different places. That we, none of you want to live aimless lives. None of you want to just kind of just go along. In your heart of hearts, you know, making more money and you know, having more friends and kind of like having this just very well put together custom and behavior life is not enough. For many of you, there's a cross that's just knocking on your heart's door. And the question is, will you answer? Devin, can you come up? Now, I'm not going to, you know, pray over you or ask you to pray, but we're going to sing a song here in just a second. I have decided to follow Jesus. And this business is not mine. What God's doing in your heart and the things that he's asking you to do, the way he's asking you to worship him, I don't want to be a part of that. That's between you and him. And so today, if you don't know God, if you don't know Christ, you can know him today. I believe in this message. I believe that Christ died for us. And I think there's some of you in this room that God is calling your name right now and you can't deny it. And all you have to do is believe in your heart. Is pray and talk to him and tell him that you believe in him and that you give your life to him. In just a minute, I'm going to back away and Devin's going to sing a little bit. And you feel free to do business with God if that's you. And some of you in this room, there is something that is staring you in the face. And the devil's telling you, he's saying that you're not good enough. That it costs too much. No one else is doing it. Why should you? It's going to hurt too much. But you know in your heart that if you don't pick up this cross, you will lose your life. And so in just a few moments, you can do business with God. And you can say, God, I choose to pick up that cross today. I choose to take the next step in my faith and worship you. And I know that there are some people in this room that you picked up the cross in your life. And it's heavy. And it's hard, and it's difficult, and life flooded in. There was death in your family. There was that phone call you didn't expect. There was that season that was just unbelievably hard. And you decided to lay that cross down. Can I tell you, just like Romans says, there's no condemnation. He knows your frame. And today, you can pick up that cross again. So I'm going to back away, and Devin's going to sing, and I just want to give you guys some time. Just do business with God. Pray if you need to. Talk to him. But this is a decision you're making for your life.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though I may wander, I still will follow. Though I may wander, I still will follow. I may wander, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. You decide to follow Jesus. You decide to follow Jesus. You decide to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
All right, church. Can we pray? God, our lives belong to you. You are our God. With you, sometimes we can feel lost, but we never are lost. And our faith will stand. God, I pray for unbelief. I pray for our weakness and the parts of us that feel frail. And we need your help often. We need the reminder that no, we're not much, but with you, God, with you, we could do anything. I pray for the people in this room that are considering taking up their cross, pray that you would send to them the strength and the peace to do what they know they need to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thank you so much for allowing me to come and speak today. And pray that Andy's having a great time on a cruise ship, I'm sure. And go and just have a great Sunday afternoon.